the question. Well, I'll hang on for a couple of minutes as you go on, Sam, in case something comes up.
Okay. Well, Paula and Abel, we certainly appreciate you making yourselves available this morning. I know that you're both very busy right now, and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be here today. So thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
And with that, I will continue on just to give you an update on the current situation here in Missouri. As of 2 p.m. yesterday, Missouri had 8,916 positive cases for COVID-19 with 377 deaths. St. Louis remains the largest concentrated center of COVID-19 in the state of Missouri, and continued vigilance is essential. We expect short-term volatility in daily numbers, both across the state and in St. Louis. Other urban areas in Missouri remain on a downward trajectory. New cases are not just a function of testing volume. The critical measure of case growth through testing is the testing positivity rate. That current rate is 5.9%. 98 Missouri counties, or 86% of the counties in the state, have at least one confirmed COVID-19 positive case. As the disease spreads from urban to rural areas along the highway system, we're still working on the ability to tie case growth to case clusters or localized outbreaks in our ability to visualize using zip codes, localized data, and geo understanding of the data. DHSS continues to monitor the spread of COVID-19 and maintain a vigilant eye on possible resurgences as we open up the state of Missouri. With that, I will move on to the license management system, which you all are probably aware the new license management system has been operational for initial licenses since April the 6th. Excuse me. Since then, we've gone from an average of 8.5 days to process a license to 1 day to process a license. As far as the renewal licenses are concerned, we originally thought we were going to be able to start doing those on May the 1st. But due to some unforeseen additional data entry that has to be done to integrate the license management system with the NMSIS Elite system, we're having to push that go live date with renewals. Looks like probably closer towards the end of May. We'll have a more exact date within the next week or so, and we'll send that communication out to you as we get that information available. Also, through the listserv, I sent an email a few days ago about the psychomotor exams and our training entities. The Bureau of EMS is permitting our training entities to resume classes and the NIEMT to resume psychomotor exams for EMTs and paramedic students. This was based on information and input provided by the DHSS Office of General Counsel, the Education Committee of the State Advisory Council on EMS, Dr. Braithwaite, the state EMS director, as well as the National Registry of EMTs. The DHSS Office of General Counsel has determined that our training entities and the NIEMT are essential services. The training entities and the NIEMT will still need to adhere to the state, county, and local stay-at-home and social distancing orders. And we recommend that the training entities, as well as an NIEMT, consults with their legal counsel prior to resuming their classes. As far as the Bureau of EMS webpage, you may have noticed we've recently been able to update the webpage. We know there's still some work that needs to be done, but for the most part, everything should be up to date. The biggest addition I wanted to announce is that we have added a section for the statewide EMS mutual aid. And we've got a couple of updates for that section already, and we will be adding some documents to it here in the near future. So that's all I have for everyone for today, and I will go ahead and turn things over to Dr. Braithwaite.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to have a nice short meeting today, and you'll probably get some of your lives back this morning, so I know everybody's excited about that. I don't have anything earth-shattering from the Medical Directors Committee except to say that the motions from previously that addressed all the regional protocol changes related to the emerging infectious diseases. So every region that pushed forward some altered protocols that dealt with stay at home, triage to home, alternate destinations and that sort of thing. All those were officially approved by the SAC last week or week and a half ago. So all that's nice and official. So that's the first thing. The alternate care site in St. Louis is being used, as I'm sure those of you in the St. Louis area know. It was sort of a joint effort by the Army Corps of Engineers and Homeland Security and the DMAT and the Air National Guard. And they've been housing low acuity patients there. I think they've had somewhere in the range of 20-ish folks hanging out there that are low acuity and don't need much more than oxygen. So that's been working out pretty well. Next item I had was just to highlight the CARES registry. For those of you that were at the SAC meeting, I mentioned that we were having issues with furloughs at WashU, and that individual had been furloughed. She is back at work. Don't ask how I did it. I just did, and she's back at work. So CARES lives on in Missouri, and we're going to continue. I am going to have her present the 2019 CARES report at the next SAC meeting. And I'm actually really pleased that she's back on board, because I think it'll be very interesting for us to be able to look at our numbers during this pandemic of how that affected our cardiac arrest outcomes. The next thing I just wanted to touch on was more just something to highlight to keep in your minds for the fall, because while it looks like we're sort of flattening out and hopefully with everything reopening, we won't have a huge surge, but I do want to think ahead to when vaccines are available for your agencies that may be positioned to do it. Under Missouri statute and regulation, if a medical director wishes to have their EMS providers, obviously the paramedics, do vaccines, that is possible if the medical director writes up a protocol to do so and assures that the provider has the education needed and is checked off on that as a competency. So for those of you that may be thinking about it, please sort of consider putting that in place for the fall when we actually do have a vaccine. Hopefully people will actually go out and get a vaccine for this. I guess that remains to be seen whether that actually happens or not. The other thing that was raised at the National Association of State EMS Officials Medical Directors meeting Monday was other folks are also thinking about utilizing EMS potentially for testing. At some point in time, if testing becomes widely available, and just wanted to kind of highlight that as well. Sam and I had a discussion about that, and clearly, again, the same applies. So if we were doing nasal swab testing, EMTs can do that. That's not an ALS skill. But again, it requires the training and the medical director's protocol to do so. And ditto for blood testing, should that be an issue. My understanding is there is both things that would require an IV blood draw, but as well potentially just blood drop testing. And since EMTs are checked off on doing glucometer and doing finger stick testing, that would be an option as well. So I'm just going to put that bug in everybody's ear for the fall or later in the summer when hopefully some of these things become available. That will be ready to kind of help out in that way. And that was really all that I had. I think there was one more question regarding what we should do about mask use in stations. So, we've talked about assuming that everybody has it and wearing at least surgical masks. And I'm the poster child for that because I made the strategic error of seeing a patient 10 minutes before the end of my shift with an acute stroke. And then I got the email the next day that she has COVID. So I luckily was wearing my mask. So, but I still get to do, you know, the temperature monitoring just like everybody else does. So I think that in stations, or if you're within 6 feet of somebody, it probably is prudent to wear a mask, a surgical mask or some kind of mask. You know, ideally a surgical mask, not an N95. But I don't know that there's an official recommendation. The CDC recommendations for healthcare providers don't really speak to that issue that we have. But as you've heard in the news, all the areas where people are in close proximity, you know, Navy ships, nursing homes, things like that, are at significantly higher risk because of the crowding and the close proximity of folks. So I think it would be prudent to wear masks in those areas. Yeah, and Mark, a universal masking policy, surgical masks for direct patient care providers and cloth masks for everybody else is reasonable. So just kind of consider that for your situation. I mean, obviously, if you're sitting together in the cab of an ambulance, you're closer than 6 feet to each other. So, and that was really all I had. So I think at this point, unless Sam has something else, we'll open it up for questions from everybody and go from there.
No, I don't have anything else. I do see a question from Kim McKenna asking if there was a decision made about the KED and long spine board on the psychomotor exam. Yes, hi Kim. Yes, we have made that decision. I haven't had the opportunity to speak with the leadership from NIEMT yet, so I would prefer not to make that announcement here, but after I speak with them, I will be sending out communication through the listserv to everybody to let you know what that decision was. And so Dr. Braithwaite, there's another question here that's probably yeah.
I see from Suzanne. Yeah, how long do we see this being the new norm? And is there a certain phase of the reopening that we see mask protocols reduced? You know, I think this is going to be the new norm for a while, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we're going to see this flattening out through the summer, but those hotbeds like nursing homes and things like that are going to continue to simmer along with ongoing cases, is my gut feeling. And then in the fall, I think this is going to go back up again. So I think while everybody's used to wearing a mask, I think that would be a good idea to keep on doing that. You know, even in the reopening things in public, they're requiring the people wear masks in various places. And I think that while folks are used to that, I would just keep on doing it. I imagine that's going to continue probably through fall flu season at least. And since we all know flu season can run anywhere from September to March, I would plan on wearing a mask for a while. And that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, because if everybody wears their mask, not only will you probably not get COVID, but you probably won't get the flu and every other respiratory illness that floats around in the fall. So that's my gut feeling.
So, Dr. Braithwaite, I do have one other thing here to announce. All agencies in the state have now received their EM resource login. So we're being asked if you could please log in and update your information. That would be greatly appreciated. You can also utilize it for any queries that you need now. So I would assume that if you have any questions about the EM resource login, that you could, and Kat, please correct me if I'm wrong on this, to contact Kat Probst.
Thanks, Sam. Kat, did you have any other comment that you wanted to make on that?
No, thank you. If you did not get the email, check your spam. It went out about a week and a half ago for all agencies should have received that, or almost 2 weeks ago. So we can resend if you do not have your login information. And if you need assistance, contact Bob Patterson, myself, or Josh Kroll, and we'll get you signed in.
Thanks, Kat.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If we don't, you guys get half an hour of your lives back.
Yeah.
So you can all go out and do the happy dance.
The only other thing that I wanted to ask folks is, do y'all feel that we still need to have these calls? Are you still finding these calls valuable? Should we, if you do want to have them, continue having them on a weekly basis, bi-weekly? What are your thoughts? Okay. So the comments I'm seeing is that everybody seems to find them helpful, and that maybe going to a bi-weekly format would be fine with everybody.
All right, sounds like a plan. We can send out invites for the next one. And since we managed to get the technology more or less right this time, we might finally have this thing figured out.
Yeah, it seemed to go pretty well today, I think.
For once. All right. Well, thanks everybody. Have a wonderful day. Stay healthy and safe out there, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.